These words are a comfort to us if we believe these words. In the last few Wednesday nights, we've been looking at the subject, how beautiful heaven must be. And we looked at the location of heaven. And we found out that that's up. And we found that where the Lord's at is in the sides of the north. And we looked at as heaven a real physical place. And we had the following things to prove that. The location put forth in the Bible proves that it's a real place. The Lord's resurrection proves that it's a real place. The leaving of our Lord and how He left, the manner that He left, proves that it's a real place. The layout described in the Bible proves that it's a real place. And the link to biblical redemption proves that heaven is a real place. Now, when it comes to the subject of heaven, there are some very important questions that we need to look at. We've already addressed where it's a physical place. But now what I want to address today or look at today is, will we know each other in heaven? You and I both have heard and maybe even read at some theologians and scholars that have their opinions on the subject. But I'd like for us to reason and read in the Scriptures to bring the answer to what that question is. Will we know each other in heaven? I wish I could say that all Scripture is easily understood. I can't. And I wish I could say that we all agree on Scripture. But I can't do that either. This is a handicap that we already put before us before we even get started. But let's look in our King James Bible to see what the Bible says. We'll approach this passage of Scripture. We'll approach these passages of Scripture, I guess you could say, because it would be more than one, knowing that it is the inspired, pure, inerrant Word of God. And it really doesn't matter what you believe as far as the truth of the matter. Because if it's Scripture, it's truth. I remember a long time ago, there was a bumper sticker that says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. No. God says it, that settles it. Whether we believe it or not, I hate to say that, but we ought to believe it. But if we don't, it doesn't change God. I've witnessed to people, and they say, well, I just don't believe that. And I say, well, it ain't going to change God. It's still the truth, whether you believe it or not, because it come out of His book, the book of God. And that's what we have here. Well, as we look at that passage of Scripture that we looked at in Matthew, we found a couple of things here. One thing, you got a bunch of fellows coming and question the Lord. They're trying to trap Him. And for fear of repetition and even something that's very old, they're called Sadducees. And they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they're sad, you see. I thought that was awful funny. I heard it 100 years ago. And what they are trying to do is trip up our Lord. And the Lord gives them a conclusion, the last part of this passage of Scripture. In verse number 30, if you would look at that. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So that lets us know that they're living people in heaven. The Scripture tells us that. But there's some uncertainties that have always, I guess you've said, plagued people. And that is one of those about, do we know each other? Will we know each other? And some people are in doubt and others are just speculating what the Bible says. But that question whether or not we will know or not know each other in heaven, it'll rob the wonderful thing from us called joy and faith and confidence in the Word of God if we listen to what people are saying. Some individuals have made the statement that it's even unspiritual. It's unspiritual to even wonder, to even ask the question, will we know each other in heaven? They say, don't you know that that's where the Lord's going to be there? And the Lord's going to be enough. And it's not spiritual for us to even contemplate whether or not We'll know each other in heaven because Jesus is on all. And He is that. There's no doubt about that. But that sounds, I guess you could say, pious and spiritual. But we need to consider whether God intended us for have the blessings of the anticipation of knowing those that we love that have already gone on to be reunited with them. Wouldn't it make a difference to you if you knew for a fact that you'll know your loved ones in heaven? I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we'll know each other in heaven. It would make it a whole lot more interesting to me than if I knew I was going to know my family and my friends when I get to heaven. You have to remember, see, God created us as physical beings. And He created us as social beings also. How in the world can you can say that with any certainty? Well, let's look in the book of Genesis, if you would. Let's go to chapter 2 of the book of Genesis. I'll let y'all turn, and I've got it already written in my notes. So if you'd like to turn to the book of Genesis in chapter 2, I'll let you see God's opinion about this business of us being a social creature or not. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him." Drop down, if you would, to verse number 21. "And the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto him." If we look at that, we see that God knew man wasn't supposed to be by himself. And I've heard people say, well, God looked at man and said, I believe I can beat that, so he made a woman. I don't know about that, but I know something else. We are created in the image of God. And if we're created in the image of God, it kind of lets us understand that God's not by himself either. Do you know that God is a triune Godhead that we have? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. It is not like this either. It is like this. It's on the same level. One's not more important than the other. But we find in the Scriptures that we're made in a Trinity just like God. So there's things about us. One writer penned it down like this, and I'll read what he said. And I got a couple of them I'm going to read. He said, "The hope to see one another in heaven is entirely natural, genuinely human, and in harmony with Scripture. That ought to enhance our anticipation of heaven, because we know we will meet others who have gone before us." And then a great Puritan writer said it like this, "I know that Christ is all in all, and that it is the presence of God that makes heaven to be heaven. But yet it much sweetens the thought of that place to me, that there are such a multitude of my most dear and precious friends in Christ in heaven." And I believe we'll know each other in heaven. It'll be it's an encouragement. It's a source of encouragement and worships that we'll know the Lord. Now, I'm going to try my best not to give generalities, I guess you could say, but be as specific as I can in the Bible. So you just keep your Bible and we'll go. But for somebody to give the idea that we'll not know each other in heaven is to say that we'll be mentally lesser and less cognizant than we are right here now. You see, I know y'all. And y'all know me. And so when we get to heaven, we're not going to know each other. I don't believe that heaven is going to be a regression, but I believe heaven is going to be a progression. We're going to progress and know more there than we know here. What does the Bible say about it? Too many people are simply not informed. They just don't understand, and they've never studied what the Bible says in the texts that relate to heaven, and they just don't have the rationalization or the ability, I guess you could say, to come to the conclusion, solidly, that we'll know each other in heaven. All right, let me give you a couple of things. Let's ask the blessed Savior, will we know each other in heaven? We're talking to the Lord Jesus. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 17, we'll turn back there. We'll read a passage of Scripture here. Matthew chapter 17. I want you to follow along with me if you would. It'll help you to see it. You learn things by the eye gate and by the ear gate. Matthew chapter 17. And after 6 days, Matthew chapter 17, 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Bless Peter's heart. He's fixing to put his foot in his mouth. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Well, you say, Brother Ware, what does that prove? That proves that the prophets were recognized by Peter, James, and John. These prophets lived hundreds of years in the past. Moses was the giver of the law that God gave him. But Peter, James, and John had no problem recognizing who he was. And Elias, of course, he missed death. And there appeared to these disciples in physical bodies and with their physical identities intact. They knew who they were. Now you say, how did they know who they were? Well, they had to recognize them somehow. And God kind of must have had to help them. Elijah was the foremost prophet in Israel. And Moses was the one that gave the law. And these hundreds of years later, in the transfiguration of Jesus, they saw him and recognized them and knew their names. Where did Jesus tell them? Did Jesus tell them, hey guys, this is Moses and this is Elias? We find nowhere in the scripture that happened. So they recognized them, their own selves, without the introduction of the Lord Jesus telling them who they were. Let me give you another one. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 16. This is a very familiar passage of scripture. This will show you that the patriarch and the pauper were both recognized by the Lord. In Luke chapter 16 and verse number 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifts up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, I don't need to debate this, whether this is a parable or not. You should know that this is not a parable, because a parable never has a proper name in a parable. And here we see two proper names. I don't know why the Lord didn't see fit to give the rich man's name. It was probably because he didn't want to embarrass the family. Amen. There's a good reason not to do that. But we need to know the look that in the place at that time called Sheol, known as Abraham's bosom, or we call it paradise, that instantly Abraham, the patriarch, and the beggar or the pauper, Lazarus, was immediately recognized. They knew, or the rich man knew who they were. That's exactly what the scripture teaches here. So, not only were the prophets recognized, and the patriarch and the beggar was recognized, but the person of Jesus Christ was recognized. There's a little difficulty when we come to this, proving this point. Not that it's hard, but that some people get it confused. It's evident exactly what's going to happen here, but I want you to be sure you look in the scriptures. Look in chapter 24 of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24. I want to leave some passages of scripture. I am proving that we'll know each other when we get to heaven out of the Bible. And for the instances that we have in scripture. Chapter 24, let's go down to verse number 37. Let's go back up one. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts rise in your heart? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Here, the disciples, when Jesus first appeared after the resurrection, he appeared to them and it scared them. Well, just wait a minute. You say, well, these guys just weren't very spiritual. You bury somebody 3 days ago and then come see you, see if you don't kind of get a little shook up. Amen? It kind of, I mean, I thought about that when it talks about, and many of the saints that arose and went through the city. I said, can't you just imagine? Can't you just imagine somebody walking down the road and here comes old Uncle Sam or whatever his name is walking down the road, and you know just last week you had a funeral and here he comes? It'd kind of shake you up too. Well, this is kind of exactly what happened here to these disciples. Other places in the scripture that you'll recognize too. In John chapter 20, thus he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas said unto him, my Lord and my God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that Thomas recognized who Jesus was. So there's a very, very good chance, or I believe the Bible's backing up the fact that we'll know each other in heaven. In John chapter 21 is where we usually have some problems with people when it comes to this point. John 21, if you'll turn there. This is one place. This is one place. There's another one too. The Bible says in John 21 and verse number 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. This is where the problem comes with some people. Then said Jesus unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved, which is John, said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher coat on him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. You say, well, how in the world did they not know that it was the Lord? How far out in the lake were they? I mean, I don't know about you, but as I just went to the eye doctor the other day, I got 20/20 and 20/30, the best they can do with that one. So I'm not the best one to ask either. But how far was that? But we don't know. What was it that made John recognize him? There was something about his mannerisms, something about the way he talked, something. But John recognized who Jesus was. And immediately when he did that, Peter took that as being true, put his coat on and jumped in the water to go to Jesus. The apostle Paul records a list of those that seen and recognized our blessed Lord after the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:5, if you would please. And he was seen of Cephas and of the 12, then of the 12. Verse 6, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Some try to take this passage that we're about to look at, kind of like the ones that we looked at a minute ago when they didn't know who he was. And Jesus said, behold my hands and my feet. He said, it's the Lord. They recognize him. I want to show you another passage of scripture. They use this one in Luke 24 as on the Emmaus Road as proof that we'll not know each other. But to me, instead of proving that we won't know each other, to me it proves that we will. Chapter 24, Luke, verse number 13. And behold, the two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all things which had happened. And it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with him. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. In other words, there was a work, a supernatural work taking place to keep his identity hid from them. Had they not had that supernatural hiding of his identity at this time, when he walked up to them, they would have known who he was. Look, if you would, in verse 29, Sam chapter. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and tarried with them. And it came to pass, as he sat down at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now, I want you to know that they were sitting at breaking bread with Jesus and not knowing it was him until he wanted to reveal himself. There's been a lot of speculation how he revealed himself. I don't know, but the Bible says, and their eyes were opened. There was a working of God that opened their eyes to them see. Some people said when he broke the bread and they saw the nail prints in his hand. I don't know. But I know at this point, when he started doing that, maybe it could have been when he blessed it and break it. Maybe it's because they seen how he did it with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I don't know. But they knew who he was, and he vanished out of their sight. So there's a lot of stuff going here. Now, the scriptural reason for them not knowing who he was, I have no idea why the Lord did that. But I can tell you that something supernatural was taking place that's unknown to us. I don't know the reason for that. And I read some commentaries about this and what they thought when it says, and then he vanished out of their sight. Some people said, well, while they were astonished and looked at each other, Jesus just walked away. No, I believe he vanished out of their sight. I mean, that's what the Bible says. If we believe the Bible to be true and inerrant, I believe he vanished. Well, how did he appear in the midst when they had the doors and windows? I don't know. How did he get into the womb of the Virgin Mary? I don't know. Probably the same way he got into the upper room. Probably the same way he got out here. I don't know all those things. But assuming that we'll not be able to recognize each other in heaven brings us to the conclusion we'll not be able to recognize Jesus then. Well, that's not true. Heaven not be heaven if we couldn't recognize Jesus. Our Savior, the one who made it possible. So if we ask the Savior, I believe the instances that I brought to your attention right now will prove that Jesus would say, we know each other in heaven. One other, and I'll have to stop. Let's ask the Apostle Paul. Well, we know each other in heaven. Paul's response could be traced to many passages. Really too many for us to look at all of them. I'll just choose a few of them. Let's say the comfort of recognition. We'll look at that first. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19, the Bible says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Listen, are not ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. It's clear to me that Paul is looking forward to recognizing the saints at Thessalonica out of that church that was there. He said, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. In other words, when the Lord comes back, whether they be dead in Christ or whatever, when they get up, when the trumpet sounds, he's going to recognize them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, and neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. That is, the day of Christ is at hand. He's trying to say this gathering together is something that we need to look forward to, for we'll recognize each other and we'll be able to spend time with each other. If it's not evident to you that's what he's talking about, then we've got some trouble. There's comfort in knowing that. I'll tell you what, there's comfort in knowing. My dad's been gone since 1988. There's comfort in knowing that I'll be able to see my dad again. Amen. We'll get into that a little bit further, a little bit later on. But the comfort of reunion is what we're going to look at. He said in that passage of Scripture I read, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Bible says in verse number 17, 16 says, Lord himself will descend from heaven, the shout, etc. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a reunion to me. It's evident in the passage that Paul is longing to be with the saints of God that have outstripped him are already in heaven, and those living, those that will be living when Christ comes at the rapture. This is passage is correct. The concern among the Thessalonians about their departed loved ones, and Paul writes this to let them know about it. It is something else when you can tell somebody that's looking at the dead corpse of a loved one that they spent their life with and they love with all their heart. It's something to be able to say, it's not over. This is not over. This is just a stepping from one door, stepping a door from one, from life to eternity, exactly what it is. It's not over. If you take this away, that we don't know each other in heaven, it makes that hole in the ground look a whole lot worse than it does in itself. Paul responds with a verse, with an emphatic verse. You can say, well, what is he saying? Will we know each other? Sure we'll know each other. The dead in Christ arise first, then we'll be changed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. What kind of comfort would it be if that were charged back in verse number, I think it's verse number 18. Yes, wherefore comfort one another. If we couldn't recognize each other when we get to heaven. What comfort is that of those that already died? They'll know us and we'll know them, I believe, immediately. Graham Scroogey, I don't know how to pronounce his name. He said this, and I thought it was good. If I knew that never again would I recognize that beloved one with whom I spent more than 39 years on this earth, my anticipation of heaven would much abate. To say that we shall be with Christ and that we will be enough is to claim. To say that we will be with Christ and that will be enough is to claim that there we shall be without social instincts, affections, which means so much to us here. Life beyond cannot mean impoverishment, but the enhancement and the enrichment of life as we know it here and at its best. So in other words, if we wouldn't know each other, it's a backing up away from the blessings. But I believe we'll know even as also we're known. The first part, time is going away from me. I don't want to go too long. Let me try my best to finish. I ain't got like 8 or 10 more pages. No. The first part of what we've been talking about deals with the issue of recognition and reunion. But I'd like to look at how we will relate. Would heaven be heaven if we digressed? Heaven must be a place of enhancement, an enrichment of life. I mean, just think. It's prepared by our Lord. It's prepared for the saints of God. It's part of our reward. Heaven is. To be going to the place the Bible talks about here. It's not the destruction of the old. It's not destruction of the old. No, no. But it's the redemption and the restoration of the old. Heaven's not a place of the unfamiliar, but a place of the familiar. Well, what about our families in heaven? This is a touchy subject, so don't be offended by my answer. Family means everything to me. I love my family. Now I have two families. My natural family and my church family. Both are precious to me. But in heaven, our physical family and our church family will be engulfed in the whole family. Let me explain that. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. There's so much scripture, I'm just going to read two verses. Look at verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We see the saved here are called the whole family. God's the Father of our faith, and we become the children of God by the new birth. Just like you got born into the family that you were born into, you'll be born into the family of God or you'll not go there. Just as the tabernacle and the wilderness and the temple that the children of Israel had was a shadow of the real thing, I believe our families here on the earth is a shadow of the whole family that we'll have in heaven. We'll relate, we'll recognize, and interact with our earthly family, but it'll be in a far better and a far greater manner. How is it? I'm not so sure. I don't see a lot to tell me to help me with that. We'll not be strung out all over the country and all over the world like we have been. We'll be able to be the whole family. Listen, heaven will not make us lose anything, but gain everything. What about our families? Well, what about our friends? Listen, when we die, there are only a few things we can carry with us. And one of them is our friendship. An earthly relationship with people on the earth will go with us. Nothing will be negated, I guess you could say. We were a family here on this earth. The blessing that will be there is that we will be in one place, all of us together, in a perfect body, without the influence of sin. Amen. Selfishness. Satan. Well, what about the famous? What are you talking about? I'm not talking about the famous of this world. No. Look with me. Matthew chapter 8:11 says, and this I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Part to me of the wonderfulness and the marvelousness of heaven is to be in company with those we enjoy. Verse 11 tells us that they'll come and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is a Middle Eastern custom. It's a leisurely dinner of food and drink. It's a time when people build relationships and get to know each other and talk. It'd be kind of like a family reunion. Share stories, etc. Well, who'll be doing that? Well, how would you like to talk to some of the prophets? How would you like to talk to some of the martyrs that stood for God to the point it took cost them their life? How many of you read after or do read anything of Spurgeon or Tozer, of those great men? I like F.M. Marsh. We'll be able to fellowship with them in heaven. I mean, who's your favorite preacher? What would it be like to say, hey, Billy, yeah, Billy Sunday, how about standing up there and preaching this one? Wouldn't that be wonderful? How about saying, hey, Brother Siler, I sure would like to hear that God Can God again and have him to preach to us. Maybe there's a lot of things. That's what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. Paul tells us the best way to win the lost. Tell us you were so effective. Tell us how you presented the gospel and how you touched so many people's heart. Some of us have buried children here in this life. Some of them are babies. Some of them are just children. If they were old enough and they're saved, we'll see them in heaven. They'll be there waiting on us. Imagine how glorious it'd be. I've got grandbabies in heaven that I don't even know. I'd like to be their pawpaw for a while. You say you're just dreaming. No, I don't think so. We'll get to know each other. I feel that some people, well, I know, I feel in one sense as being a missionary for all the years, that I missed a lot. I missed my grandkids growing up and being able to be with them. I missed getting to see them grow and have a little bit of influence in their life. I miss that. But we don't miss that no more in heaven. There won't be none of that in heaven. I think of the times that our daddies and mamas, Betty, missed our children as they grew up on the mission field. But when we get to heaven, there won't be any of that. That time that we've missed our grandkids and our service for the Lord, it'll be forgotten in heaven. Lost time will be restored. Lost relationships will be restored. Lost desires will be fulfilled. And all of our satisfaction restored. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Our reward is ahead of us, child of God. This is not it. As good as this is, and I'm serious, I enjoy my life. As good as this life is, this is not it. When you've heard the song, the best is yet to come, the best is yet to come. Paul said this, I think it's Paul, I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed. It's not true that there'll be no family in heaven. It's not true that we won't recognize each other in heaven. It's not true that we won't relate to them the same in the same depth, though marriage will not be there. It is true that we'll be there in one great family. No one will ever be left out. Everyone will be home. There'll be satisfaction by and by. Will we know each other in heaven? We'll know each other in heaven. Now the thing about it is this. Are you going with us? That's the main thing. Are you going with us? Because if you're not going with us, all that I've said and all that I've read doesn't apply to you. I'm sorry, it doesn't. Because not everybody's going. It's only those that have been saved and know Christ as their Savior. If you don't know Him, boy, tonight would be a good night to get saved. Pastor, you come. I'll have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for the exceeding precious promises. Knowing of heaven lights up the valley of the shadow of death. It takes the terror away from the deathbed because we know, because of salvation in Jesus Christ, that we'll be in heaven one of these days. Thank You, Lord, for that. It's a settling peace in my soul. That if death were to come tonight, I'd be at home in heaven. I pray, Father, that there'd be one here that don't know that. You touch that heart. Draw them to Jesus and help them, Father, to respond. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand, heads bowed, and eyes closed. Think on these things that's been brought to us tonight.